Now, before we begin this little talk, have you each got a Bible? I hope so, because I want you to turn to it now and again, and when I tell you where to find the verses that I'm going to read, I will stop for a few moments and give you time to find them. Now, first of all, I am going to refer to something which is recorded in the first book of the Bible. You have no need to find that, but there is something else that I will ask you to find later. Perhaps you have already heard the story of Joseph, which we find in the book of Genesis. Joseph was sold by his brothers as a slave. He was taken to Egypt, and after a time of great trouble and difficulty, he was put in charge of Egypt's food planning, because he was able to warn Pharaoh, the king, that a famine was coming in 7 years' time. Now, during that famine, Joseph's family, his parents and his brothers, went to live in Egypt. There they increased in number very considerably. I'm afraid we are having some very long jumps through the Word of God in this little talk, because we cannot pack in everything. So will you turn now to Exodus chapter 1. Exodus is the second book in the Bible, chapter 1. Now I am going to read verse 6. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation, all those of Joseph's immediate family. Well, these people, the descendants of Joseph, those who came after him, they were called the children of Israel, and they were fruitful and increased abundantly, verse 7, and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. You see, the king who knew Joseph had died. The one who thought a lot of him because he had been a great help to him, in connection with the famine and the storing up of food ready for it. But this new king, he had no thought for Joseph. He had not known him, for Joseph was dead, and this new king, well, he really didn't bother about those who were of Joseph's family. Verse 9 tells us, this king said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies, and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters. Now they made things very, very hard for those people. They made them build treasure cities. They made them work extremely hard. But verse 12 tells us, the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. In verse 14, we are told, they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. They made things as hard as ever they could for those people. Now the king also tried to stop them increasing in number by saying that all the baby boys should be killed. But you know, nothing he did stopped those people increasing. They were God's chosen people, and Pharaoh could not crush them. After a long time and many difficulties, they left Egypt under the leadership of Moses. They wandered about in the wilderness for years because they did not fully accept God's guidance and goodness. In spite of all their wrongdoings and their grumblings, he was very good to them. He gave them all that they needed, not all that they would have liked, but all they needed. They were provided with food in a very wonderful way. It was called manna. They were able to gather it each day, enough for that day. One day a week they were able to gather enough for 2 days, because on the Sabbath there would not be any manna provided. Now you will learn more about that wonderful provision, no doubt, another time. But for now, the important point is that although it was a wonderful provision, the people began to get tired of it and grumbled about it. They grumbled about God's special way of looking after them. Now if we turn to Numbers chapter 21, that is a little bit further on than Exodus, if you can find it, Numbers chapter 21. I am going to start reading verse 5. Numbers chapter 21, verse 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses, "Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." What a dreadful way to speak of God's special provision for them. "Our soul loatheth this light bread." Had they forgotten how they suffered in Egypt? How hard they had to work? Well, it seems like it. They turned against Moses and said, "Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt?" One day we shall have to consider the wonderful way in which God brought them out of Egypt. We have missed all that today. I said we were going to take some very large jumps, and we have. We have left out a very interesting story about how they left Egypt. Had they forgotten the way the Lord had led them out? How he had taken care of them in their journeying? Well, it seems that they had forgotten. And also the troubles and the hard work which they went through in Egypt. They were complaining about God's special provision and calling it this light bread. Now that simply would not do. And so the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. Do you know what a serpent is? It is another way of saying a snake. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. They died as a result of their bites. Well, once again, they went to Moses. They always went to Moses, in all their difficulties, and with all their grumbles. He needed to be a very patient man. They went to him once again, and they said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. They knew that those serpents had come because of their grumbles and their disobedience. They knew that the Lord had sent them because they were not pleasing him. They asked that the serpents might be taken away. But the Lord did not answer their prayer in the way they asked for it. He didn't take away the serpents. He did something else instead. You know, the Lord does not always answer our prayers just the way we want them answered. No. But he does hear when we call upon him. He may not remove our troubles, but he makes them easier to bear. That was what he did for those people. He said to Moses, now this is verse 8 of Numbers 21. He said, "Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." Moses was to make a serpent and put it up on a pole. I wonder why it was to be on a pole. You know, anything that is high up can be seen by everyone, can't it? So Moses was to put this serpent on a pole, so that everyone could see it. And the Lord had said, Everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. You remember that they were dying of their snake bites. And if they looked at that serpent which Moses made, they would live. They had nothing else to do but look, believing on the Lord that what he said was true. Well, Moses made the serpent of brass, and he put it on a pole, and verse 9 tells us, It came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now that again was a wonderful provision made by the Lord to help his people, even though they had grumbled so against him. Well, now those verses are referred to in the latter part of the Bible, which we are now going to turn to. Can you find John's Gospel, chapter 3? John, chapter 3. If you will look at verse 14, you will find it says, And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. What for? Because the people had sinned. They had grumbled against God. They had sinned, and they were dying as a result of those bites. Well, now, we have all sinned, haven't we? We have all done something wrong at some time or another. And what is going to happen to us? There is another verse which we should look at for a moment. I will read it to you, though, and save you finding it. It is Romans 6, verse 23. It says, For the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. We have all sinned, and therefore we have earned death. Wages are something you earn. But the second half of this verse tells us about a gift. You don't earn a gift. You only earn wages. A gift is something which you receive regardless of any work. The gift which this verse speaks of is the gift of God. It's eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You cannot earn eternal life. It is a gift. What you earn is death, the wages of sin. So what happened to those people in the wilderness through their sin? Happens to us too. In both cases, the wages of sin is death. Now, if we turn back to John chapter 3, we find, As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The Son of Man is one of the titles of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will remember that the verse I read to you just now from Romans said, The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now Moses lifted up that serpent, that all those who looked at it might live. And the Lord Jesus Christ was lifted up on the cross, that those who believe on him might live. That those wages of sin might be made of no effect. John chapter 3 continues, That whosoever believeth in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, might not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That was why the Lord Jesus Christ came down to this earth, that those who believe on him might have everlasting life and have the wages of sin made of no effect. Now do remember that the people only had to look at that serpent of brass. They had to do nothing more than look, believing that it was God's special provision to help them in their time of need. And remember too that we only have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to have eternal life, which he is offering, and the forgiveness of our sins. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to try hard. We are not very successful if we do try to be good, are we? We fail however hard we try, I'm afraid. No. The thing to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you will have the gift of eternal life. Now I'm going to finish there, just saying that I hope each one of you will learn to love the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Saviour. I hope that you will one day believe on him, will believe that he died for you, and that he was raised again that he might help you, and that he might give you everlasting life. For he will, if you simply believe on him. So that is all just for now.